Give a little time for the child within you. Don't be afraid to be young and free. Undo the locks and throw away the keys and take off your shoes and socks and run you.
It's Jordan, Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective. Jesse Thorne out on tour this week. But never fear, we have a great show for you with two fun guests. An old Jordan, Jesse Go favorite and a new friend that is sure to join the pantheon of beloved guests. Or become a hated blip on the radar that people will talk about only in hushed tones. First of all, the beloved returning guest from Riff Tracks, from Mystery Science Theater 3000, one of my favorite funny people who has ever lived, Bill Corbett. Welcome to the
show,
Bill.
Thank you, Jordan. That's an awfully nice introduction.
Welcome back to the show,
I should say. Yeah.
And the other... The new guest, who I'm sure it'll be the first thing I said, which is them being a beloved returning guest. Someone I actually got a request to appear on the show today on Twitter. So that guy, this one's for you, buddy.
Of course it's a guy.
We have a really wonderful singer of sometimes funny, sometimes sad, sometimes both songs. At Midnight's social media guru.
Ah.
And the host of a wonderful podcast about The Simpsons, the greatest show in history, Allie Gertz. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I hope I don't make anyone mad, but maybe that one guy's going to regret it. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is all on you, guy. I wish I could remember your Twitter handle.
It was my dad.
So I could, oh, yeah.
Please let her on.
At Allie's dad.
My dad does have a Twitter account that he never uses. It's just his name. But I do like that his bio is just... What up, bitches? He just had his second daughter, by the way. I'm the first.
Hey.
He's the second, so I'm 25 years older than my little sister. So
holy
this
moly.
This is going to go out to her. I want her to listen to this.
Congratulations, yeah. First of all.
Hey,
that's quite a spread.
It's quite a bit.
Now I feel pressured that this podcast is dedicated to a baby. To, like, have more wisdom than usual? This usually has zero wisdom, but now...
Well, yeah, I mean, this kind of works in terms of the pressure that goes into it. Something my dad actually did teach me, which I think is actually a really good lesson, like, in terms of expectations when it comes to meeting your heroes or maybe mm-hmm. listening to a podcast that might be the greatest thing of all time, is basically go in with high expectations, meet your heroes, and if they are great, then everything is good. And if it sucks, then you learn a lesson that not everyone is perfect and not all podcasts are great.
That's amazing. Wow. Hey, yeah, not all podcasts are great.
Not all podcasts are great. I'm the first to say it.
Hold on. I don't know if that's true. Can we get our fact checkers on this? Yeah, I feel like I want to, like, say something to this baby who's, I'm sure, going to be listening to this.
Yes. And by the way, just in case you wanted to personalize it, her name is Olivia.
Olivia. Mm-hmm.
Olivia, very beautiful name.
That is a great name.
Thank you so much. I don't think that – I don't think my dad and his amazing wife, Katie, know this yet, but the middle name is June. Beautiful name. We got a little baby OJ, though. I don't know if they know mm-hmm. that.
Making a baby murderer.
A lil murderer. An L-I-L apostrophe murderer.
Aww.
Yeah, I know. It is a shame that OJ is experiencing such a resurgence, what with the FX show and the documentaries and such.
Yeah, it's oddly as popular as it was when I was a baby, when they probably went out of their way to not name Olivia June.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it's even more unfortunate is my new niece, JonBenet.
We just out and out name our kids Hitler and Mussolini. I mean, we're old school.
Oh, fucking hipsters. Yeah. You hipsters with your goofy baby names.
Can either of you guys off the top of your heads come up with OJ's actual name, what the O stands for?
You know, I know this. We were joking about this in the At Midnight Writers Room, so I'm cheating a little bit.
Okay.
Allie, do you want to wager a guess?
I'm going to guess that it's a one Oscar Julio. That's my guess.
Oh, that's really good. That's a good parallel universe, OJ. No, it's Orenthal.
Orenthal.
Oh, no, that's
Orenthal.
Even worse.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Right? Name your kids Orenthal.
You ruined the name Orenthal for everyone.
It's sort of like a boy named Sue. He just goes mad with rage from all the years he took shit about that name.
Orenthal sounds like medicinal Oreo. I don't know.
The doctor's like, take a sleeve of these and call me in the morning.
I like that, doctor.
Wait, so, and then the J stands for J? Just like Homer
James. I think it's just James. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really,
Orenthal
yeah.
James, I believe.
Right down the middle name. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. We were joking about it, and it's something like the idea was that someone didn't know the name OJ, but it's like, oh, I know Orenthal. I think I've said this before on the show, but my grandfather's name, I never met the man, but my mom's dad's name was Pinuel Gatewood Dunn.
Holy moly.
We are Southern folk.
Yeah.
And he had that one of those crazy Southern names.
Pinuel.
Pinuel Gatewood. He sounds like he's perpetually fanning himself and saying, mercy, mercy, it's hot.
Ah, Pinuel. You just have the vapors. Now, what state are you? Are your folks from?
My mom's from Louisiana. My dad's from Tennessee. I was born in Texas.
Is Pinuel? Wow. What kind of name is Pinuel?
I don't.
What kind of name is that?
Yeah. It sounds like a guy who sits in a lawn chair and oversees guys on a chain gang.
Yeah.
I like names like that because, like, you know, you always worry when you're naming your kids, like, what will they make fun of him with? And, like, in addition to it just being a weird name, like, the closest thing I could really think of is, like, Pinwheel.
Pinwheel, yeah, which is adorable.
Which is really nice, actually.
Like maybe someone just misheard Pinwheel.
Yeah, yeah. It almost sounds like are they from? They're from Louisiana. Is that the part of the branch?
Yes, I think he was.
That
born
might
in
be
Louisiana.
Like some Cajun name or something.
Yeah,
or?
Maybe it is.
Some kind of voodoo shit.
Probably some.
Yeah.
I know you say it three times. Yeah. And right. Pinwheel appears in the mirror.
It's Pinhead's baptized name, actually.
Yeah. My friends call me Pinhead, but it's short for Pinuel. This is, you know, I think I to anybody who listens to the show with regularity, I think maybe I have a reputation as being a chill Southern California dude.
Oh, yeah.
But I think my roots are very Southern, and I think this story kind of sums it up. I actually had to miss a little family reunion at a lake house in Houston this year. I was working, so I didn't get to go to this little family reunion. But I was like texting with my sister about how it was going. And we have a cousin whose name is Chris, but everyone calls him Bubba. And I just texted my sister, oh, how's the reunion going? She's like, oh, Bubba's jet ski blew up and it threw him into the air.
Oh, that's perfect.
He was fine. Bubba's fine, but I do – just to give the listener a little perspective as to where I come from, it is from a line of people that is sometimes injured in jet ski explosions.
Oh, no.
Yeah, not just like thrown from the gate. The fucking thing blew up.
It blew up, just threw him into the perfect. Air. And he emerged unscathed. So I think we're a hardy people.
Oh, I'm happy for Bubba.
Yeah.
Alligator skinned people.
Bill, so you it's a rare treat that we have you here in LA. You as a Minneapolian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You maybe don't make it out here more than once or twice a year.
That's true. Yeah, I live kind of in the middle of the country now. I'm in I'm from New York originally, so I go there a couple of times a year too, and that's about all the traveling I can do. And we go to Nashville often for our Riff Tracks live shows.
Oh yeah.
So we see the Southern Hollywood.
Do they call Nashville the Southern Hollywood?
I don't know. I think they have a couple of euphemisms for it like that, but it really is pretty.
Yeah.
Like the hipsters are there in force now. I mean, it's a pretty cool place to live, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not just like old guys in nudie suits and cowboy hats anymore. It's they have like a real cool bar and food scene, and you know, it's just getting insufferable, of course.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can't tell the tone with which the mustache was grown.
Right, right, right.
Is this a goof mustache?
Is that an original mustache? Or
yeah,
it's a little overwaxed.
Sure. So yeah, what brings you to town?
Well, I'm working on the new version of Mystery Science Theater 3000, that show that I used to be involved with. And they're rebooting it with a whole new cast. Joel Hodgson did a Kickstarter, and it was, like, phenomenal. It got, like, $80 million.
Yeah.
And they're actually going to be on Netflix. So they're going to be way more popular than we ever were. So I'm deeply resentful of that. But I'm still...
I can't imagine more people have Netflix now than were watching Comedy Central at 7 a.m. in 1992.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Which is how I consumed Mystery Science Theater. I would wake up early. Lord knows I was not out on Friday night. So I would wake up early on Saturday to watch MST3K.
So I'm going to reprise my old character of The Observer, a.k.a. Brain Guy, and I did a little bit of writing on it, consulting, just kind of like threw some jokes their way, and that's about it.
That's amazing. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about, because you and I know, you know, there's probably a little bit of secrecy around it, so I will accept vague-ish answers.
Okay.
But it seems like kind of the reboot will be dealing with kind of, you know, older B movies. Not like you're not riffing one of these new X-Men movies.
Oh yeah.
So, but with riff tracks, you guys do riff current films, the Harry Potters, the X-Men.
Yeah, I mean that was one of the original motivations for throwing it together, mm-hmm. and to sort of distinguish it a little bit from what we used to do. It just became clear to us at some point that, you know, with MP3 stuff, you could just do a commentary track and not try to get the rights to the movie, which was always impossible anyway. I mean, there were a lot of reasons why we did old B movies there, but a lot of them had to do with the fact that they were orphans that you could get, like you could buy the rights for, or they were in public domain or something, and not, you know.
Yeah, nobody was holding out for a hearty payday for the rights to Space Mutiny.
Right. Reb Brown tried, but, you know. Yeah, I mean, like, we would do an Oscar special a couple of years anyway, towards the end of MST3K, or a summer blockbuster special where we would take the electronic press kits that the studios would put out for, like, Siskel and Ebert or whatever, and we would riff those. Mm-hmm. And people were always saying, like, man, you did that part of Titanic. Just do the whole thing. And the answer was always, like, we can't get near that. I mean, they'll have their goons beat us up and Warner Brothers. So, but this provided us a way to do that. That being said, we got kind of, you know, you can only do so many current movies. They're a lot longer. They have that confuso vision action stuff. Like, doing Transformers was the worst.
Boy. I bet it's hard to make a joke when you don't know what's going on.
I really don't know what the fuck's going on. And, you know, and then, yeah, and then there are, like, attempts at humor with Shia LaBeouf screaming a banshee just at every opportunity. And so trying to do jokes on their jokes, and, you know, I'm doing the air quotes, is tougher, because basically what you're saying is, oh man, lame joke, you know, or lame humor, which I makes you sound more dickish.
That is the ultimate sin of the Transformers movies to me. And I think that is that is where I turn into a kids these days crank, is about the Transformers movies.
You know, we all get there. I've been there for a while, Jordan. You guys are a lot younger, but you're making your way.
Sure. But yeah, I definitely see those as cynical dreck and am mad that people see them.
I think the worst thing about the Transformers movies is that one of them actually had balls, like literal balls. And they had
the
wonderful actor John Turturro, who's one of my favorite actors ever.
Yeah.
You know, getting a paycheck, I do not blame the guy.
No.
God bless him. Get lots of paychecks. But they gave him the line. He was like some – I forget what he was supposed to be, but he was obsessed with the Transformers. And he was like sort of comic relief, but they couldn't decide. And at one point he was like underneath the Transformer and he said, I believe I am underneath – the creature scrotum.
Like, I have been in many Coen Brothers movies.
Yeah. I did Shakespeare. But here I am.
In your – maybe let's take the Transformers and put them in a pile.
Yeah.
And Ali, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this too, because just from chatting with you at work, I know you did a project recently where you watched – a movie a day.
Yes.
And
And then I stopped because I'm a big quitter.
How far into the – this was kind of supposed to be a year thing,
it was
right?
supposed to be – yeah, it was supposed to be a movie a day for the entire year. I was trying to – I think it was – this was 366 days this year, so I even really –
well, that's why then. That extra day will – it's burdensome.
I was watching a movie a day, and then about 2 months in, I'm just like, I can't. I quit.
Movies are long.
It was
some
more,
are bad.
Some are bad. Yeah, I was having a lot of fun. I was writing reviews each time, and that was fun. But then that kind of added to the homework element, and then it ended up just being a lot. But I still watch as many movies as I can. The reason I did it was because I rewatch movies more than I watch new stuff.
Sure.
Oh wow, my wife's like that. I just don't do that. I don't know why.
I have a couple of soothing rewatch things.
Yeah.
It's mainly TV for me.
Right.
But I am a big rewatcher when I need to relax. You mm-hmm. know, like
totally.
my relaxed thing is always a Simpsons or a 30 Rock or a Futurama.
Those are the three shows that it is for me too. And 30 Rock, I know is one of the best shows of all time, mm-hmm. but then I sit down and every single time I was like, that's even better than I remember.
Yeah.
It's so good. And TV is honestly the reason that I had the downfall. It's not that I stopped watching 2 hours of stuff every day. It's just that a show would come out and I'd be like, well, I have to watch this and I can't do that and my movie and work.
Sure.
Yeah,
and
it's a big
sleep.
Investment of time. My partner, Kevin Murphy, actually did that. He had a book called
A Year at the Movies. Yeah.
And I think the only reason he could do it is because he got a book contract. So he didn't have to do anything but that. But it's a really cool book.
Yeah, I think in that book he watches a movie projected on an ice wall in Norway.
Yeah, he was doing
really
all kinds
amazing.
Of stunt movie watching for a while, which is a weird concept.
Wow.
But, you know, he did a lot of it, of course, just in, you know, the 10 plexes around the country. But, yeah, he went around the world and he was watching them in Polynesia. He just wanted to travel. He made no money because he blew it all on travel.
Hey.
Still.
But.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
pretty
stylish. If you got to blow the advance on something.
Yeah, and that was simple. Finland or something like that, or Norway. It was he wanted to hit points in the globe too, because hitting every day of the year wasn't enough. He had to.
That's what's crazy is I had in my, you know, when I would write it up and put it on my dumb website, I would say who I was with and where I watched it, and it was always by myself in my house. I don't know why I added that
just
little feature. It
take
me...
that feature out.
Yeah,
it'd be very sad.
In a castle with a stranger, that's
yeah. There we go.
That's that. Ooh, this is intriguing. How did this happen?
But of the movies that I saw, Transformers was never one of them.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it. But I also missed that. It wouldn't have been nostalgic for me. I never watched it as a kid because, you know, that was not my time, really.
I did. I definitely liked the movies as a kid. And it seems like your modern blockbuster is aimed at two distinct groups. 10-year-olds and a sweaty 30-year-old who maybe has some intimacy problems.
Very, very well put.
Sure, and that's me. And I liked Transformers as a kid, and you know, and I will happily see anything that involves an Avenger. But I saw that first Transformers movie and was. Had my week was ruined.
Yeah,
you know?
It's really painful.
But I wanted to ask you, Transformers aside, because we've thoroughly dicked on it. But is there any modern movie for you where you're like, I can't believe this got a wide release and people saw it? Oh my god.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure I'll come up with something eventually. But
yeah, no, I know. Kind of a big question. And also, Ali, I want to also kind of extend this to you and your project. What did you watch where you're like, oh my god, why is this a movie?
I should actually pull up the list. More interestingly than, you know, because I wasn't trying to torture myself. It was already enough that I was watching a movie a day. So I did try and watch movies I would love.
Yeah.
That's very wise.
I was more surprised by movies that I thought I would love and hated, and that are their beloved movies.
Sure.
I hate My Dinner with Andre, and I feel so bad because I wanted to love it. I not only love Wally Shawn, but for some reason get in fights when people say that it should be Wallace and not Wally because he refers to himself as Wally. So I'm just like, it's Wally.
He prefers it. He prefers it.
I don't know him, but I feel like I know him. So that's my Transformers, I guess. But
is My Dinner with Andre.
Very simple. They do have a robot. They do have a giant robot with a big scrotum in that one, too.
He's your wine,
he's the waiter.
Now, Bill, I think you have, if I'm not mistaken, have had to watch all of the Twilights.
Yeah. Wow, did we fuck ourselves there. I mean,
there's 9 of those?
Yeah, we were kind of skeptical that it would be good for us at first. Mm-hmm. And at least I was, because my business sense is nil. But it turned out to be kind of our biggest hit by lots.
Yeah.
There's something about it. It takes itself very seriously. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of space to, like, give commentaries because there's all those moon-eyed glances at each other. And there's plenty of room for jokes. Yeah. And
it's a relief to have you guys make fun of it. Because, like, honestly, like, that came out, like, in my high school for me. So I was just like, everyone likes this except for me. What am I going to do? And it was like, honestly, so like, oh, thank God.
Were they fans of the books or the movie or both?
All of it.
Yeah.
And like people will say just like, oh, well, you know, and I kind of say this with Harry Potter, like, oh, well, Harry Potter helped kids read. But no, they just read Harry Potter. No, yeah. They just read Twilight. They don't read anything else.
Right.
And
oh, my daughter's kind of like that. She's just like, you're going through Harry Potter again, honey, right? You realize there are other books out there. But Harry Potter, I mean, I've actually read them with my kids, and I think they're kind of well written, whatever else
much
you want to say about them.
Twilight,
but Twilight is just, you know, atrociously written.
And I'm sure they all run together because, you know, they're stylistically the same and probably shot within a month of each other and, rushed out to theaters as quick as possible. But did one stand out as being better or worse than the other ones?
Yeah, they got progressively worse. So I mean, it's like straight line down.
Yeah.
And it starts really low, but then it just goes...
It drills a hole into the earth to plunge
like
further.
It had its own weird kind of dumb integrity before they had the werewolves, which were just giant wolves. It's like,
I liked it before the werewolves.
I was really... Yeah, I mean... and then they had a whole thing. I don't know how much you guys followed it, but did you watch it to the bitter end?
I have never seen a Twilight.
Oh, okay.
I have also never seen it, but like some movies like Napoleon Dynamite or like different things, you don't have to see them to have to hear it all the time.
Sure,
ubiquitous.
Yeah.
But by the end they had I forget who had a baby together, but there was a baby.
Yeah.
And it was the creepiest.
Frankenstein and the Mummy had a baby, right?
But yeah, it was Kristen Stewart and then the werewolf guy, the vampire guy, one of those.
Yeah, I forget who. I mean, it was all convoluted. But the baby was this terrible CGI creation because theoretically the vampire babies are supposed to grow up really quick. Mm-hmm. So she went from fetus to like,
hot teen.
Just on the verge of hot teen. Yeah. And like,
now I'm interested. And then,
tell me more about these teens.
The thing they did with the face to make it that effect happen on the baby is so uncanny valley, that expression. It's just like, that's sort of real. But
yeah,
throw it out the window quickly.
Like my nightmares.
Yes.
Yeah. I guess. Yeah. Probably not the desired effect for the viewer to want to throw the baby out a window.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just that's my personal. Spin,
yeah. No, but, I get it.
I want that for every baby though. I mean,
Olivia, this is going out to you.
Oh God, I forgot what we dedicated.
Someday,
this to.
Sail out of a window.
We will keep you away from the bad man, Olivia.
So I watched a real stinker over the weekend that I, did this to myself. It's, I feel like it's me saying I watched this movie and it sucked is like, when you see a little kid playing near an electrical socket.
Right.
I stabbed myself and it hurt.
Yeah. Wham!
That was an unexpected outcome.
Why did that happen? I watched the Point Break remake, which is a thing that happened, and maybe people wouldn't know because it was in theaters for less than the running time of the movie.
Yeah, that just got...
the movie is 2 hours long, and it was in theaters for about 80 minutes.
They were trying to rush you out before it ended.
Yeah.
We're not playing this anymore.
Well, so I did not go to... I watched it on HBO Go. So it's something that happens with these streaming services is... there's the time spent watching and the time spent browsing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And there's something that – it's weird. It will – you won't stop on it the first time, but it will
– You bookmark it.
It'll make a little place in your brain saying, maybe you'll watch that someday.
Right.
Like something that – and it just was happening to me with the Point Break remake over and over again. I first saw them like, oh, my God, I remember that they made that. And then I'm like, I'm never watching that. And then I just kept thinking about it. Like, I wonder what it is. Do they have the President's Max? Because Point Break is one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, that's really fun. The original is really fun.
It's a blast. It's like, one of those just kind of like you know, something that I think only the Fast and Furious movies get these days,
yeah,
is that what if an action movie is crazy and fun?
Yeah.
Totally.
Right. And has jokes.
And just a little bit absurd, you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Well, I guess that's crazy kind of qualifies. Sorry.
Yeah.
I had my thesaurus out.
No, no. I think that's a good distinction in that, like, it should be, you know, it should be in a little bit of a heightened reality where, you know, certain laws of physics don't apply.
Well, yeah, and we just re-riffed for our 10th anniversary of Riff Track. We re-riffed the Patrick Swayze Roadhouse.
I love that movie so much.
Roadhouse.
And one of the great things about that is like the utter march into unreality.
Yeah.
Which is like where bouncers actually have national reputations.
Yes,
you know?
He could be a
like,
famous bouncer.
He's the best damn bouncer on the East Coast.
I mean, if it's DJs can get that famous, I don't see it being crazy.
Yeah, it's not. Yes, I know. If Skrillex can be famous.
Who is the bouncer equivalent of Skrillex?
Yeah.
But, you know, and this goes to your point because that was like prime Patrick Swayze era,
both that
and Point Break. He was
this
weird, mystical, you know, hot karate surfing dude who,
yes,
I don't know, was so, really a dancer.
I know. It was, yes, a warrior poet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, a Tai Chi sex machine.
So what about it was so horrible?
So the conceit of the old Point Break is that Keanu...
Can I interrupt?
Yes.
Just for a second. I want to guess how they effed it up.
Oh, I would love
you
to,
go
yes,
on.
Please.
I mean,
I would love to hear.
But explain the old one first.
The old one is Keanu Reeves is an FBI agent, which he will say out loud many times, I am an FBI agent.
Yeah, yeah. Dumb as a box of rocks,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly.
It's just great.
Johnny Utah is his name, a former college
FBI
football star.
I say FBI.
Yeah, I mean, and you know,
FBI is kind of like football.
I have many head injuries. I have many head injuries.
You know what? I shouldn't say that. He's John Wick now. He rules.
He is. Yeah. Yeah.
I just saw John Wick my very first time.
Yeah.
No,
you never forget your first Wick.
That's what I'm going back to. My rule does not apply to John Wick.
Yeah. People are saying he's back. I'm thinking he's back. So it's Keanu Reeves, Johnny Utah, FBI agent, and he is sent undercover to investigate a ring of thrill-seeking bank robbers. And they suspect that the bank robbers are robbing the banks for the thrills that they can no longer get doing extreme sports, surfing, mm-hmm, skydiving, yes, these sorts of things. So he joins this surf gang. Oh, by the way, Lori Petty.
that really the
90s crush.
Yeah, that really puts it in an era,
yeah,
a specific era.
Teaches him to surf so he can join this surf gang, and he embeds himself with them. And
this sounds like something Bubba would be doing. Is that your
role? Yeah. I think that
he would somehow make the surfboard blow up, though.
Right.
Oh, no.
And so then this kind of thing happens where he has to take them down, but also he feels like he's one of them.
Right.
And at some point, Patrick Swayze throws a dog at him. So perhaps the greatest movie scene of all time. Oh, and then he punt kicks it, and then he drop
that
kicks it like a football.
Seems related to John Wick in the dog thing.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the premise of the old one. You had a theory as to how.
You know, I don't have a theory. I just wanted to, like, you know, wing it, basically. Like, knowing what I do about Hollywood, yes, and remakes, I'm guessing they took all the fun out of it.
Yep.
There's no president masks.
There's a nod to the president's mask. So same thing. Thrill seeking, group of extreme sports bank robbers.
Can I just guess that they put in a little like father child sort of subtext in there? I may be wrong. But
no.
They love doing that.
God, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's dad wounded them in some way to motivate them to do something.
I'm going
to
guess the dog is CGI now.
No. Oh. Allie, there is no dog. No one throws a dog at anyone.
See,
no one throws a dog at anyone.
Idiots.
Fucking. You could have had a $50 million opening weekend if you just would have thrown a dog.
You wonder why you close
Make the
first
dog...
week. You don't throw a dog.
Save the cat. You throw the dog.
Thank
How many
you.
Times do I have to tell
the
you?
The rules of screenwriting. These are the rules of screenwriting. So in this, Johnny Utah is not a former, college football star, but he is an, this is his words, not mine, an extreme sports polyathlete.
Oh.
God damn it.
He does it all. Motocross, rock
who
climbing.
Who plays him?
A blonde man. I think this movie just flies in the face of the notion that if to be in a movie, you need any charisma at all.
Right.
The men in this movie, I'm talking the Johnny Utah, the Bodhi, everyone looks like they should be in a movie, but only as someone who says two things before Liam Neeson punches them
You're
in the throat.
Right.
Like, they are goons. Everyone
it,
looks...
Bodhi is Gerard Butler, right?
Oh,
am I wrong?
No. It's some guy.
I thought it was.
He is Spanish. He has a very thick accent that I might describe as Wizzo-esque.
Oh my God!
Hard to
Suddenly
understand.
Suddenly, I have to see it.
No, you don't. And that's also something that I took offense with is that so also
because you hate Spanish people.
I hate the Spanish. I hate their naps.
Spanish people speaking people and yeah.
I'm all for making it international. I think that's a cool way to go with it. Even though there's a little jingoist in me that thinks that Point Break is an American story. You know, it's the story of the...
Continue. I'm just going to do a little patriotic.
It's the story... we as Americans, we founded this country on thrills.
Mm-hmm.
Throwing the tea in Boston Harbor. Crossing the Delaware. These were the first extreme sports.
Yes.
They are the bedrock of this great nation.
Yes.
We invented Mountain Dew, damn it.
Yeah. But the... So, okay. Also, something I didn't mention is that Gary Busey is in the original as...
Johnny
Utah's
FBI supervisor.
FBI supervisor, his kind of kooky Busey-esque partner.
Yeah, there's no part that Gary Busey does that is not kooky.
Yeah, right.
By
yes.
definition.
Down to earth.
Yeah,
yeah. Humble shopkeep who never screams at anyone.
Once you see those choppers, you're in for a ride.
The Busey character is a random Australian guy, and. They set him up to be Busey-like when they say that when Johnny Utah is told that he'll be working with a partner, they're like, you're going to meet Pappas out there and let's just say he's an acquired taste. I'm like, all right.
A handsome man?
Yeah, well, he's not handsome. He's an old – just kind of an older dough man but has no characteristics.
Oh, no.
He's not an acquired taste. He's fine.
He's very
– competent, nice, helpful.
Very easy to pin down that taste.
Yeah, and, well-dressed.
A nice burger.
Yeah. Just, he's a nice burger of a man. And I don't – yeah. And I don't know if there's a script where he's played by Andy Dick or something, but
– Right.
But the man they got is the most normal of men.
Like Emo Phillips as
– Right. I would love that. Please, just make it one more time. Emo Phillips in the Gary Busey role. So the plot of this is that these thrill-seeking bank robbers who are shown early in the movie on security cam footage riding motorcycles with president helmets. There's an
what
Obama.
What is a president helmet?
It's a motorcycle helmet with the president face on the front.
Oh, on the front. Okay.
Yeah, so this is a nod to the president mask, the iconic president mask of the original. So these guys are trying to perform the 8 extreme sports ordeals that some sort of extreme sports guru has said will lead you to nirvana. So
sports ordeals?
Ordeals, yeah.
Oh, sports ordeals.
Yeah,
like an
ordeal, a trial.
I
should have enunciated. Which kind of sounds cool. I love the phrase extreme sports ordeals.
Deal.
Taking a second mortgage on your house. Extreme.
Whoa, chug-a-doo, take out a mortgage. But yeah, it's just a slog. The some of the extreme sports ordeals, you know, surfing a big wave, flying around on one of those Rocky the Flying Squirrel suits.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That happens, and some of those are very lovely, but they have kind of the dramatic quality of one of those test reels that's playing on a TV in Best Buy to show you how good the HD is.
Yeah. Stock footage.
Yeah, it has all the drama of stock footage. It's just like, here's something we filmed on a cool drone. Anyway, right, back to our boring story with our dumb characters. So yeah, cannot in good conscience recommend the Point Break remake.
Remakes are hard. I just saw the Blair Witch remake. Did you guys see that one?
No, I'm curious.
I didn't, no.
Yeah, well, without spoiling it too much, although I suppose it is a little bit of a spoiler, so don't listen if you don't want to. Basically, the best part of the original...
What's that? You'll yell at us anyways. Okay, internet.
The best part of the original is, well, one, you really believed it was real based on how they were promoting it. Obviously, you couldn't possibly think that now, so... I was just like, wow, they really are going to have to go all out to make this convincing at all. Mm-hmm. They did do some cool stuff, admittedly. Like, you know, they have updated technology. Everybody kind of has their own GPS device and drones, and it's crazy. But you see the monster in it.
Really?
And that's kind of the worst thing they could have done, in my opinion.
Yeah, like, sure.
But, I mean, yeah, it was scary if you've never seen a movie like that. But it was like – it was as, you know – it was not even as good as, like, the Paranormal remakes, and I've seen all of those, the Paranormal Activity ones.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because I actually really like that franchise.
Those are really
a lot.
Scary.
I've
only seen the first one, but it was terrifying to the point where I kind of
really
don't want to watch the other ones because I would be too scared.
That's the same thing, though, where the first one is much more realistic. The second one, and it also becomes, like, really, like, witchy and, like, has conspiracy-type stuff, and
sure.
It gets more. But I like that stuff. I'm someone that loves Harry Potter, as you mentioned, so I kind of like a little bit of magic in my scary
movies.
A
little sprinkling of fairy dust.
Yeah. Yes, it's a weird thing when a movie is really successful and iconic. You know, the first thing they want to do is remake it, but there's also this competing pressure to like make it different.
Yeah.
So you have things like you know, the remake of Willy Wonka with Johnny Depp, which I thought was reasonably successful, given that they couldn't just have Gene Wilder do it again.
Sure.
I was looking at The Fly. Do you know that old movie from the 50s or early 60s with Vincent Price?
I know the Cronenberg Goldblum one. I have never seen the original. But
the first, and that was not a bad remake, but there's a thing at the end. I don't think it's been out for whatever.
Spoilers for The Fly.
120 years it's been out. There's a moment at the end that is so scary. It just freaked me out as a kid and has never left my head on some level, which is when they I'll try to explain this briefly. Like, they know, like, the professor has turned into a half fly.
Yeah.
And he finally basically commits suicide because he can't take it anymore. You think the movie's over. Then they find this little weird fly in a spider web, and they hear this high-pitched sound saying, I think The Simpsons actually parodied this at one point, right?
Help me.
And then you know, they zoom in and it's like a fly with the head of the scientist and a spider is approaching it and you see it from his point of view. It's terrifying.
It is terrifying. And you're right. That is in The Simpsons. It's Bart's head when he's on the little fly body. That's the Treehouse of Horror one. And it's also in Emperor's New Groove. One of my favorite David Spade movies.
Sure.
I think it's actually not a bad movie.
No,
but I guess my roundabout point was that they didn't do that same scene in the Jeff Goldblum version, even though they found other cool things to do, which, you know, Brundlefly was pretty.
The Jeff Goldblum one is a really just a gross,
gooey and icky, like everything Cronenberg does. He throws goo
at
it.
The women seem to like him. How about we make him disgusting?
Yeah, right.
We'll show you, ladies.
I don't think women liked Jeff Goldblum until that movie. I mean, I don't remember in real time. Then suddenly he took his shirt off. It's like, dude. You
know? Yeah. Get a load of that thorax.
I felt it. Yeah.
Interesting. Jeff Goldblum's sex symbolness is an interesting thing. It seems to kind of ebb and flow, and maybe he's back to sex symbol again?
I know a lot of people that are my age that think he's so, so attractive. Mm-hmm. And I guess it would be because of Jurassic Park, because that would have been like the first thing. He would have been a lot of people's first crushes.
Sure,
because
yeah.
of that character.
That's a sexually imprinting movie.
It really is. That whole movie. And I think a lot of the same women that like Jeff Goldblum also later realized that they also liked Laura Dern. Like, you know,
sure, yeah. Which, ooh, this is a buffet for the senses.
They're both kind of tall.
Both can handle their shit.
But yeah, Jeff Goldblum plays in Los Angeles at, I think, where is it? The Dresden or the place next to it? I can't remember. But he plays
this is the,
jazz.
I think, the Rockwell.
Yes, it's the Rockwell.
This is a Los Angeles tradition that I feel like a fucking fool for never having done.
Let's go. He comes back.
The Jeff Goldblum Jazz Piano Hour.
Yeah.
It is fun. I've been.
Yeah.
It's really great. And if you are a singer, you are able to go up there and sing with Jeff Goldblum. It's
That's
really
awesome.
Crazy. You have to know jazz. You know, you can't sing, you know, whatever is contemporary. But
sure.
Yeah, it's
You
wild.
Can't sing your Drakes if you want to get up there and sing a Drake.
Do you know Smack My Bitch Up, Jeff?
I can improvise. give me an E.
So, jazz, wow. I mean, I've seen him on shows just sort of noodling around, but he's a serious
He's really
player.
Good. He's got gigantic hands, so, I mean, he's kind of got an advantage.
Damn.
As if we couldn't be more attracted to
Jeff
Goldblum.
Oh, my God.
He's the anti-Trump.
I am off Laura Dern now. I'm on to him.
Laura Dern, also larger hands.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Well, hey, let's take a little break. We'll imagine Jeff Goldblum and Laura Dern massaging us with their giant hands.
Excuse me a second.
And we'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go.
The great questions of your life.
The great questions of your life.
Should you put ketchup on a hot dog?
Put ketchup on a hot dog.
Toilet paper. Over or under?
Toilet paper.
Star Wars,
Star
or Star
Wars
Trek?
Or Star Trek.
Fear not, my friends.
Fear not,
Mark
my
and
friends.
Hal always reach the definitive answer. Simply listen to We Got This with Mark and Hal every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Pacific on Maximum Fun.
Fun.
We got this. Your better self is right around the corner. Namaste.
It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
Bill Corbett, man accountant. I don't know.
Allie Gertz, baby thrower out of windower.
Oh, nice.
Good nickname. A couple of announcements here before we continue the program. October 30th, Jesse and I will be doing this program live at the Now Hear This Festival in Anaheim, California. It's a podcast con of sorts with over 30 shows. You got your Comedy Bang Bang, Never Not Funny, WTF with Mark Maron, Memory Palace, Doug Loves Movies, all those casts you know and love. And if you want to go to this swell event, we got a discount code for tickets. Put in JJGO and you get 25% off a 3-day pass. That's the Now Hear This Festival. And we actually booked a cool couple of guests. I said last week that we weren't quite ready to reveal who it was. Still maybe not. Still might make you wait a little longer. I can say that it's a crossover that the fans have been demanding.
Ooh.
So if you have a guess,
it's the cast of Transformers.
Yeah, it is. Oh fuck! I can't
so
believe I
sorry.
Said all that
so
shit. If you have a guess as to who it is, use hashtag #GuestGuess on Twitter. Use hashtag #GuestGuess and let us know who you think
Not
it is.
Not guest, guest, guest.
Yeah,
guest,
guest.
Okay.
Guest is if you want to stay in an abandoned guest store in a mall. Yes, that was a clothing brand at one point, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. Maybe still is. Hey, and speaking of clothing, we're also sponsored.
By Guess.
Sponsored by Guess. Hooray! Maybe not.
Sponsored by Christopher Guest. I don't know why the hell he's doing this.
Sure, he doesn't want us to talk about a movie, just wants us to mention his name. Christopher Guest, a fine man. We are actually sponsored by Cricut Shirts for Men. These are lovely shirts for the discerning gentleman. They sent us a couple. They're lovely. Fits amazing. Feels amazing. Cricut shirts, the perfect mix of old school style and modern design, inspired by natty duds of years past by the likes of guys like Nicholas Palmer, JFK, and Dean. So yeah, if these sound like shirts that you would enjoy, check out Cricut, C-R-I-Q-U-E-T, shirts.com/JJGo, C-R-I-Q-U-E-T, shirts.com/JJGo, and you get 20% off your first purchase. If 25 sounded too good to be true,
it was,
but 20% ain't too shabby. Cricutshirts.com, you enter promo code JJGO at checkout. That's promo code JJGO, 20% off Cricut shirts. These are handsome items. I would surf on over there and check them out today. Got a Jumbotron message from No Regerts.
That's my last name. Oh, my God.
It sounds similar to your last name. It's not No Gertz, but No Regerts. It's a fast-paced card game where you get epic tattoos to become the most badass while making your friends lame.
Who doesn't want that?
Seriously.
I want to make my friends look lame.
I know.
I got these cool-ass friends with their big dicks and beautiful skin. I want to make these assholes look lame. And I'm going to do it with No Regerts. It's got great artwork and reviews like, it's fun and engaging and has enough take that to be competitive, but not a dick. Some of the best art I've seen in gaming. I don't know who these reviews are from. Someone, probably. It's a great game for game night. You back it on Kickstarter before time runs out. You get a copy of the game or pick a top reward. Seriously, back it now. PoisonFishGames.com/Kickstarter. And if you want to give them an email, contact@poisonfishgames.com. That's No Regerts, the Kickstarter from Poison Fish Games. That's all the announcements. We'll be back in just a second on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I'm Bill Corbett. I am a retired detective who sits in a chair all day and sends boy detective out to solve crimes.
Thanks for the shot, boss.
Oh, I won't
let you down.
Hey, I'm just eating here.
I'm Allie Gers, lover of sandwiches and boy detectives.
Hey, two fine items, if you ask me. Hey, from time to time, I mean every single episode, we like to dip into our telephone mailbag and take some calls from our fans. Let's hear one now, Brian.
Hi, Jordan, Jesse, and guests. This is Chad. I'm calling with a momentous occasion. Today I was at the local dog wash. I was giving my dog a bath, and the dog in the next tub over was this pug, and the owners kept trying to take a whole bunch of pictures of him while they were bathing him, and they kept trying to say, "This is for your Instagram. This is for your Instagram," like it was going to convince the dog to behave. And meanwhile, the owners, employees of the dog wash kept giving them all these dirty looks because they were taking a really long time. They were trying to take all these pictures and there's a bunch of people waiting. Anyway, we went into the drying room to start drying our dog. They came in a couple minutes later, put their dog on the table. There was some safety goggles in the drying room for some reason. And, they kept trying to put the safety goggles on the dog to take a picture and it wouldn't cooperate. Finally, they get them on the dog. The dog's standing there. They start to take a picture for the Instagram, I guess, and the dog looks straight at them and just starts taking a dump.
Okay. What is going on here? I am not a dog owner. Is this something? Is this something that you can take your dog to a dog wash with costumes?
I want to ask that caller, what is it like to be rich? And second thing I have to say is the goggles do nothing.
Oh, the goggles.
What are they theoretically for?
The goggles, I assume it would be to get soap, keep soap from getting in that little dog's eyes.
So they actually are dog goggles.
Yeah.
Here's
I thought it was
goggles.
In case a dog, you know, shook a lot and had the equivalent of porcupine quills. I don't know. Might be some weird breed.
Sure, yeah. I
mean, they're virtual reality goggles. They're pretending right. they're not at a bath.
Because it's really boring to watch a dog get clean, as it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah, you put the goggles on the dog, and it feels like it's in the car instead of in a bath. It's doing something it loves.
I have a hard time making fun of people that take pictures of their pets because, I mean, I take – today, before I came over here, I was trying to find a way to kill time, and I made about 6 Instagram stories of me singing songs to turtles that were at the lake. So, you know, that caller might not like me very much either.
Hey, guys, follow Allie on Instagram or unfollow her, I guess.
I think that's weird. I never considered the social dynamic of the dog washing place so deeply as I did today. I mean, I never knew there was...
Deeply, but not as deeply.
Sure. We've all considered it. We've all written some novellas about it.
Now I'm ready to make that choice and to really think about it. There is a... It's weird that there's like a, you know, standing room only. Like, gotta get going, everybody. Wash those dogs. I never thought of it like that.
Well, you know, the pilot of Seinfeld, they're at a laundromat. I imagine if we did modern day, it would probably you know, just 2 dudes trying to get their dogs cleaned.
Gotta wash your dog, Jerry.
I love it. Here's
it's
our
a dirty dog. It's dirty.
Here's our Seinfeld reboot.
Right.
Surely it'll be more successful than the Point Break reboot.
Too much shampoo.
I think there was a key word in here that I think we maybe have run past.
What is our goal here? To help this person come down from the?
I think to dick
their
on
freak
them.
Out. All right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no,
that's always acceptable.
Oh, hold on. Is that everything okay?
Yeah.
Cool. I think there's a key word here that I think says everything about this story, and that's this is for. Your Instagram. This is a dog who has his own Instagram.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think the Instagram handle is of that dog?
Oh, boy. I mean, the breed will be in there. So it's something like, you know.
Cutie Muffins Bichon. Love Muffin.
Yeah.
I said Muffin twice, didn't I?
So. I think it's perfectly.
You can never say it enough.
I think it's perfectly reasonable to assume that this dog who has an Instagram has the word Muffin in his name twice. Yeah, it'll be like, or, you know, like, at Doug the Awesome Pug.
Right.
At My Dog Never Shits on Table.
Yeah. We can't say that.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about that element of the story, which is really the dog's aggressive.
Sure.
Hate shitting back at his owners.
Yeah, I mean, I think
you want me to be a cute little baby here.
Here, look at this. Here's what a beast does. I'm a beast.
I do like that people will like be so insecure that they like internalize when dogs take a shit. Like, oh, it's because it hates me. He's like, no, it's because it has to. It has to go.
It's an animal.
It doesn't realize that it's in a really
quite
nice
biological.
Place.
Yeah.
Oh, he's mad at me.
Oh, boy. Oh, what did I do?
I changed his food, and I didn't think he'd notice, but clearly.
I've been working real late lately. No, it's a dog. It just shits wherever it wants to. Okay. I think we've sufficiently dicked
on
the
dog
washing place. Brian, you got it. Yeah, we did. We solved it. Congratulations.
Ta-da.
The puzzle is complete. Brian, what do we got? What else we got in there?
Hey there, Jordan, Jesse, and Go. I've got a momentous occasion for you. I was delivering pizzas at my job the other day, and I was delivered to this house, and there was this very young girl and someone who I assume was her grandmother hanging out by the pool. Wonderful people, absolutely. And then when they had paid and they were all set, I turned to go, and I hear the little girl behind me say, "Goodbye, Mr. Pizza Man. I love you more than my whole family." And then she stops and reconsiders. And you can hear it in her voice. She's like, "Well, I love you more than my mom, at least."
Oh.
And that just carried me on through the rest of the day. All right. Have a good one, everybody.
Wow.
Can somebody say relatable?
Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations on stealing the love of a mother, you charming pizza bastard.
Yeah. No, I mean, there was a time when I ran away from my home to be with Papa John, who I considered to be my real father as a child.
I actually have this, like, ongoing, you know, it comes in waves, but I have this ongoing relationship on Twitter with, I think it's, like, Totino's. They're, like, the frozen pizza bites.
Sure.
And then DiGiorno. And then also, what was the one that they
said? So you like all the fakey Italianate name places.
Yeah, well, I'm vegan. I can't even eat cheese.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, I know. Oh, no.
Oh, no!
Who
sorry.
Did this to
I'm
me?
Just imagining no, myself doing that and panicking. I'm sorry.
I have all these pizza companies that I guess we kind of have like this pseudo like flirty Twitter banter back
sure,
and forth with.
Yeah.
And my dream is to be the face of one of these
brands.
Flirting with pizzas. Yeah, I would love to be the face of one of these pizza things, at least for a day, like as a contest winner. But I get being in love with the, you know, that pizza brand. And
sure.
I don't even, it's not even about pizza at this point for me. It's
right.
just the idea.
Which it can't be for you, right?
There's actually really good vegan pizza if you're a vegan. If you're not a vegan, then it's just like, what happened to my pizza?
Yeah, right. It's less good.
Yeah. I would never say that like vegan food is like bad. I actually think it's really great. But anytime it's like super good, I'm just like, uh-oh, this isn't vegan.
Yeah. there's some hidden pork in
uh-oh.
Here. Some mystery
don't
pork.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Yes, exactly. Oh, I guess it's vegan. Of the pizza brands, who's got the best Twitter game, would you say?
DiGiorno, for sure.
Oh,
like,
really?
Don't even have to think about it. Sorry, other pizza guys.
Do they do it in the voice of like a cliche Italian chef?
I think I think they'd be really racist to do that, which is why I love it. Yes.
Throw back a Thursday.
Like our revanchist racism here.
Yeah. No, it just really has knocked, it's really found that very Tumblr-y mm-hmm. millennial kind of, not Brandon Wardell fully millennial, but it's got that, like, it's got that vibe.
Sure.
It's not. You know, dicks out for pizza, but it, you know.
Right, yeah, yeah.
It's just, it's cute and it's young and it's fun and oddly male. And so, you know, we hit
masculine.
It off.
Sure, yeah. It's a very masculine pizza Twitter
account. Vaguely male people on Twitter. I'm just like, I got it.
Right. Yeah. It's weird to engage with the brands on Twitter because I mean, every now and then I think, oh, yeah, there is some harried intern, overworked intern trying to make this work. And it's a delicate thing. But I once got dunked on by Applebee's.
Oh,
I said something about Applebee's. And I didn't even like at Applebee's them. I just
they
mentioned
just
their name.
They have a Google alert for the name.
Yeah, they must have. They're like, you know, Trump. He's just searching his name all the time. And
Bill Corbett, yeah, loser, Mystery Science Theater, very unsuccessful show. Bad, lame.
It was not even a particularly, you know, devastating tweet. But you know, it was like Applebee's food is garbage. It's
Applebee's
like plasticky food.
Yeah.
And they came back at me, and they were like loaded for bear. They were being funny, and I forget what they said, but a couple of people did the equivalent of on Twitter, like,
yeah.
Applebee's, man, just threw down. What are you gonna do? And like I kind of gave up because I just figured they would win. Yeah,
I bet you if you are the Applebee's Twitter account, you have like stock responses loaded.
I was going to say they probably pulled it out of the file.
I think somebody said afterwards they did. Like they're ready to go and they'll like slightly retool it. But
yeah, I bet they, you know, like secretly
crafty bastards.
You know, paid a lot of money. They got
should probably spend that time making good food. But, you know,
no, Twitter slam.
Their Twitter game is strong.
I bet they spent a lot of money to like secretly fly out like Anthony Jeselnik and Jeffrey
right.
Ross and Nikki Glaser to their compound to write Applebee's one-liners.
And they're like, we'll take your money, but you could spend it on not like serving ground up chicken beak instead.
No!
You know,
quiet. Know your place. Joke man. Yeah, you know, I kind of agree that it is so like absurd that, you know, people talk to brands on Twitter as if it's a person or if the brand is a person. And, you know, like, why would you follow Charmin? What information
right.
are you getting from following
it's
Charmin?
It's mostly airline complaints.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I actually did get – I was really pissed at Angie's List. Do you know that company?
Yeah, sure. This is a place where you will go to find –
Oh, the car stuff?
You sort of – no, it's something like that. You pay a little fee and then you get deals basically from local vendors. It's, when I bought a house, I became super lame. But they did something really went wrong with one of the deals, and I complained on Twitter like an idiot. And Angie herself of the List got back to me and decided to make it right. It's like, all right,
the
I've got
Angie.
Social media
it's
power.
It's actually Angelina Jolie. That's why this has happened.
That's why her and Brad Pitt broke up. She's spending too much time on the List.
We're getting married.
But yeah, as someone who runs a brand's Twitter account, I can tell you that a lot of the people that interact are lunatics.
I bet.
Oh my God, I forgot you did that.
Yeah.
So you know this.
I do. And I don't know what it has taught me other than, you know, not to read stuff.
Sure. Don't read.
Anything. You never know.
You might be taking that lesson a little far, but I don't
know. I don't read anything. Not even newspapers.
That's good. Good.
Thank you.
You know what?
Word's
good.
Bad.
Word bad. Picture good. Video game, very good.
Oh, yeah.
Me like blimp.
That tattoo video game that's sponsoring you guys?
Yes.
That sounds great.
I think that's a card game. I think it's a competitive
card game. I don't have any tattoos, so anything that is like tattoo without commitment sounds fun.
It does kind of sound fun. I know.
Do you have tattoos?
No, I don't think it would fit my personality.
Same here.
Yeah.
I love things enough to – I love them a lot, you know, enough to write songs about them or have a podcast about them. And posters, but yeah, I don't know. I'd rather just have a T-shirt, but I know that's such a stupid stance to have. And my sisters they have amazing tattoos. Everyone else has them. I always think they're cool. I just feel a little bit square, and I don't want. I feel like I like that about me. I kind of like not having tattoos.
It's the new cool thing to have no tattoos.
Do you have no tattoos?
I don't either, but I mean, like, I always thought, yeah, I'm not going to like this in 25 years.
That's my thing.
The feeling that I have now, yeah, it's borne out to be true. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I feel like. I mean, if recent history has taught us anything, it's that a thing that is widely considered good can turn out to be bad or evil at the drop of a hat.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I think that, like, it...
Bill Cosby. There's
family.
No... I just love his solid down
there. I have a Jell-O pudding pop on my arm.
My band name was Cosby Sweater. I still have tons of CDs shirts and, like, I had posters that had, like, a melted pudding pop and, like, I still... I mean, you know, they're for sale.
Sure, if you want to.
And I mean sale.
Yeah, they're going to anything must go. No, no offer too low on Cosby Sweater posters.
I will pay you.
Starland Vocal Band, they suck.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, can you? I mean, I want to mansplain to you how to get rid of these posters, but can you just add an R? Crosby Sweater.
Crosby Sweater.
Kids love David Crosby.
Kids love David Crosby.
That octogenarian walrus guy.
You know, most of my listeners, including the guy that wanted me on here, they're all dads. I'm sure that they would honestly get the reference even better.
Oh, sure.
And I have not, even before the Bill Cosby, you know, upset, it was still just saying, what about Crosby? Because I'm just like, yeah, no, I already picked my thing. I'm going to go with this.
Just
but thank
go with
you,
this.
Old gentleman.
Gee whiz.
Thank you.
It does not sound very healthy.
Thank you, man in khaki shorts.
Exactly.
I will consider it.
Oh, dear.
Yes. So, Brian, did we have any more calls in there? Was that the – so we got one more? Guys, let's hear one more.
Let's do it.
Hey, this is Noah. I am calling with a momentous occasion. I just had my right hip replaced like 3 hours ago. And I'm in a lot of pain, but they're giving me a lot of drugs. Just thought you might like to know. Love the show, guys. Bye.
No.
Can we take a quick weeping break here?
Yeah, like, poor guy.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, hip replaced. I always do appreciate the drugged up call. One of my faves.
Yeah.
You know, not going to encourage people out there to do drugs.
I will.
Yeah. Allie will.
Olivia, this goes out to you.
Go out and get your hip replaced.
You're
and
a baby
get
now.
Fucked up.
Yeah, free meds. New robo hip and a shit ton of Vicodin. Get that hip replaced.
He sounded kind of young hip replacement I associate with way down the line of life.
But you know these hip millennials, they got these exploding Samsungs.
Hip is right. Yeah.
Hey. Hey-o. It's very dangerous out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we appreciate it. Definitely give us a call no matter what state you're in. 206.
Especially if you're on drugs.
Yeah, especially if you're on drugs. No matter what state of the union or what state of mind you're in.
What was this gentleman's name?
I don't remember. I'm gonna say Francis.
Francis, get well soon.
Yeah.
And change your name to Francis.
We love you, Francis. Yeah.
So if like Francis, you are jacked up on some sort of drug, give us a call, 206-984-4FUN. We'll be back in just a minute on Jordan Jesse Go. It's Jordan Jesse Go. I'm Jordan Morris, boy detective.
I am Bill Corbett. I am now a boy detective. I am Benjamin buttoning my detective life. Yep.
Allie Gertz.
You don't have to do a new nickname each time.
Well, what if I want to?
Well, then you can. I won't.
I'm still the baby thrower out of Windower.
It's a good one. Guys, thank you so much for being guests on this program.
What a treat. Thank you.
Yes, Jesse.
What a treat. Thank you.
I enjoyed it.
Did I sound robotic? I'm sorry.
Jesse will, in theory, be back next week for a more traditional episode of the program. Before we go, let's gab about what folks can consume that has your name on it, Bill. Of course, Riff Tracks exists. Rifftracks.com to find all your most hilarious.
That's
movie
the
bits.
Main thing, I'd say. And we're doing another live show broadcast around the country through Fathom Events around Halloween. I think it's October 27th, mm-hmm. and Halloween itself. Which is Carnival of Souls, that weird early 60s movie.
Oh, boy. Ooh. These Riff Tracks live shows are so much fun. I try to never miss one. You know, you can go into a movie theater with a bunch of other Riff Tracks heads and mm-hmm. and laugh your ass off like a bunch of dorks. It's really, really fun. I couldn't recommend these things more. If you're a Riff Tracks fan, if you're a Mystery Science Theater fan, these are fucking blasts. You should
definitely
do them.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yes. Allie, first of all, I want to say I'm sorry for in jest suggesting at the top of the show that you were not going to become a beloved guest, which you clearly did, and then some.
Oh, aww. Man, you've proven him wrong, Allie.
I feel like a chump for even suggesting
yep.
it.
Yep.
You have a lot of things that I think our listeners would like to ingest. A particular favorite of mine is your music. I think I mentioned at the top. Often funny, often sad, both in twain a lot of times for fans of Jonathan Coulton and the like.
Ooh, thank you. Ooh.
The music of Allie Gertz is really, really wonderful. Do you have a place to shove people to listen to that music?
Yeah, you could, you know, as I said earlier, my band name truly was Cosby Sweater.
Sure.
So the first album that I have, which is a lot of that Jonathan Coulton-y kind of folky, sad, if worse Amy Mann loved Ren and Stimpy type music, you could go to Spotify and iTunes and Bandcamp and all of that and look up Cosby Sweater, C-O-S-S-B-Y Sweater. It was a High Fidelity reference. It wasn't even Bill Cosby. then my newest album, which is actually almost a year old, is a Rick and Morty concept album. It's called Sad Dance Songs. It's all this like almost techno, like sad electro pop. Mm-hmm. And then just follow me on Twitter and everything at Allie Gertz.
And I think I would be a fool not to mention that you have a podcast about the fucking Simpsons. I've been on it.
Which you have been on, and it's been so great.
Yeah.
I was so happy to have you on that show. It's called Everything's Coming Up Podcast. And, we were just at the Podfest, and we're going to have Weird Al on very soon. That's the one I'm most looking forward to, I'm going to
awesome.
Say.
Yeah.
And tune in for that, because we're going to keep going until we're out of good episodes.
Yeah, you guys have great guests. Oftentimes, Simpsons writers.
Which is so exciting. Exciting because they end up being even nicer than their jokes are funny.
Yeah, it's a really great show, and I think I think definitely we have Simpsons fans in our audience, so definitely check that out when possible. One more time, go see us at the Now Hear This Fest on October 30th. JJ Go for those discounted tickets. Jess will be back next week. Brian Fernandez on the boards.
Yay!
Hey, back from England, in the U.S., in his rightful seat. That's all. Bye.
Jeez, Rick. Please, Rick. Stop taking me on these adventures where I can't trust what I remember, 'cause parasites got in our brains, so I don't know if I've gone insane. Jeez, Rick, you sure love seeds, Rick. I'm missing school and getting no sleep. You're dripping a drool and being a creep. I don't know how you dragged us here, want to make this loud and clear. I'm done, but you're as smart as
eyes, feeling soft like Coach Baratu. Don't be like Mr. Jellybean when I say no to what I mean. She's Rick, ah, he's Rick. I'm scared of love and getting to marry you. Always hide their scary, dairy you. Never tell me that you're proud. Now squanchy squanching much too loud. I'm done, but you're as smart as I am dumb. So I know that you'll find someone to take all the crap. I no longer find fun. But if there's a timeline where you're kind, find me in that one.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.